Hello and welcome to the 100 Podcast. Zen Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. Today we're continuing our team preview series for the 2023 edition of the 100. We are previewing every single men's and women's side, and today it's all about the Oval Invincibles men. This is a side, Charlie, we have high expectations for pretty much every year. Loads of talent on this roster. It just hasn't quite clicked to the point where they've been able to get to a final and win a trophy. This year, I think, is pretty pivotal given the amount of talent they have and the fact they might not be able to keep it all in coming years.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? We've always been very, very strong on this side. We've always felt like the amount of quality and depth that they had was, frankly, too good to not be competing, at least for the top three slots, if not to win the whole competition. But it's just not come together. I almost feel like their super strength has been their weakness in the last couple of years, in that they have so much flexibility and so many ways in which they can put together this very versatile group of players. They haven't necessarily found their identity. They haven't necessarily found the role clarity for each of the players in their squad. And that's made it quite difficult for them to find a winning formula all the way through a competition.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But, you know, I think at any moment they can find that and work that out, they can switch it on, because there's loads of talent in this side. And let's start with this top order, shall we? Jason Roy, Will Jacks, Sam Curran we're projecting to bat at three, and then we have Sam Billings at four. And we're going to, I think, to be honest, actually, we'd usually start with the top order and then go on. I think it's worth actually going through the entire batting order, because that's what we talk about with the Invincibles. Any one of these players can float up and down. So let's mention Jordan Cox. Well, we have him card at 500. Clarkson, who's in fantastic form, might move up and down the order. Tom Curran has been playing purely as a batter this year, in the Barst, overcoming an injury. We're hoping he's going to be bowling in the 100. And then you have Sonil Narine, obviously less of a batting force than he has been. I think people have worked out that if you just bowl straight and quick at him, he's not going to do much, which hurts, I think, in the modern day of T20 cricket when teams actually quite like having pace bowling. But you have so many options here. You have left-handers, you have some just real power at the top of the order, players who bring a lot of different things throughout. And I think that's what's nice about the Oval Invincibles, is that they have both the talent and the interchangeability where you can really take an attack down if you nail your strategies.
Of course, this is a lot of quality in that team. All these players are very, very strong. And they all have preferences too, that's super strength, if you like. Jason Roy is so good against the pace bowling at the top of the order. Will Jacks is an absolute gun. What a player he is. Sam Curran is a left-handed option. The only left-handed batter, really, with the exception of Sonil Narine and Ross Whiteley, who we don't think is going to play very much, to be honest. So that makes him quite special in his lineup, quite unique. And I think he will float up and down the order to suit whenever the left-hander is most needed. But Sam Billings and Jordan Cox as well, both two wonderful players, obviously both at Kent as well. Big fan of both of those players. Perhaps they're quite similar in terms of the way they go about their business. Jordan Cox has developed a bit more. He's a bit more of a boundary hitter than he has been. But you would say they're both fulfilling similar roles. But Heinrich Klaassen, for me, is the one to watch in this batting lineup. His form this season has been genuinely phenomenal, particularly against spin. That is why he's going to be very useful in this side, you'd think, as a de facto spin hitter of this side. He is a genuine monster right now against spin. I'll be honest, I don't think I really saw him pushing on in the way that he has done this year. If you'd asked me if Heinrich Klaassen would be one of the world's in-form spin hitters this time last year, I would have laughed at you, but fair play to him. He's really pushed on, and it looks like a really good bit of work by them. He will be replaced for a short period of time in this competition by Jimmy Neesham, who isn't really the same player at all. But when Heinrich Klaassen's there, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, you do. 12 matches in the IPL this year for Heinrich Klaassen, averaging nearly 50, striking 177. He's hot, and he's just hit a century in the biggest franchise tournament of them all, Major League Cricket. I believe he's playing for Seattle Orcas over there. Take what you will from that. Point is, they've got players in form as well. Will Jacks is a phenomenal player who I think is going to be playing for England very, very soon in white ball cricket, and should be. He's a real powerhouse at the top of the order. Heinrich Klaassen's in good form. You know, John Cox's been playing good this season. I like every component of this batting order, and I think it fits really nicely together. What I do want, though, is, as you mentioned towards the start of this, is just to hit a real identity. I think to have a bit more clarity about how they go after this. I think that's what I would really like to see. And I do wonder if maybe they're just one top order batter short in the lineup that we've got here. Curran at 3, Billings 4, Cox 5, Clarkson 6, Curran 7, Narine 8. You know, you kind of want to throw Narine up to the top of the order a little bit, but can you in the modern day? And I do wonder if they just maybe they've got a few too middle order players. And I know the 100's a different format, but you know, you would quite like to see maybe a player who's more inclined to bat at the top, I think. That's my only thought, but really interchangeable. And I think this batting lineup's got a lot to offer. Moving on to the bowling, let's start with the seam attack, because I think this is quite a difficult one to piece together. We know what Sam Curran brings. We know what Tom Curran brings if he's going to bowl. They've also got Insanullah, the very, very quick player. And for a Pakistani, really broke through in this year's PSL. He bowls heat. And then obviously you've got Gus Atkinson as well. They also brought in Zach Chappell in the wild card and Tom Laws as a replacement player. So they've got seam options there, Charlie. And I do think it's a really exciting attack with the caveat that Tom Curran is there. Because if he isn't there, I do start to have a little bit of concern about how they're going to devise their death overs.
I do agree. I think it's one of those that really could go either way. I think Gus Atkinson is a really exciting cricketer. I'm looking forward to seeing him get an extended run in this side. I think he's got a lot to offer. Genuinely very quick operator, like quicker than you'd think. And I don't think he is that far off playing for England if he has a good 100 here. Genuinely, I think he could really, really push for it this season. Tom Curran, if he doesn't bowl, that is a problem. Although I think they're optimistic quietly that he will be bowling. And obviously, Insanullah is a real breakout player. He's genuinely rapid and very exciting. My concern here is that the loss of Topley to the Superchargers will hurt them. I think he's been a very, very good bowler for them. And I know he's been injured recently, but he's still a quality cricketer. And in the last year or so, has really pushed on. Plus the loss of Saqib Mahmood again to injury. I feel so much better about this side if you were to add Topley and Mahmood to it. I just look at the bench depth here, and Zach Chappell and Tom Laws both concern me a little bit. I think Zach Chappell's bowled pretty well this year for Derbyshire, and he's deserving of a chance here. Whether or not he's ready to be a 100 level regular seamer, I'm not sure. Tom Laws, I've genuinely not seen him bowl very much T20 cricket at all. He's looked very good in the Red Bull games he's played, but it's a very different skill set. So it's a big risk if you were to play those two players for a relative chunk of this competition, as there is every chance they may have to if Tom Curran isn't yet ready to bowl. So if they can field their full strength lineup of Curran, Insanullah and Atkinson, you think, yeah, good, I like it. If they can't, maybe it's a problem for them.
Laws has economy rates this year in the Blast is about 10, so I'm going to kind of push him to the side and assume it's a pick for the future. I'm very bullish on Zach Chappell. I think he's a good bowler. I think the concern is the death overs, but I think Insanullah is really exciting. I think he's what they thought they were getting in Mohammad Hasnain last year. And now, I will never give up on Mohammad Hasnain, as you're very aware, Charlie. I think he's going to be one of the best quick bowlers in the world, and I will stay with that. But he did underperform last year. I think that's what they're expecting from Insanullah, that pace they can maybe bring on the middle overs to take some wickets. And I do think that that's something they're going to be pretty keen on, is to have that wicket taker in the middle overs continually stump the innings, just stop the momentum, which I think is so crucial in the 100. I love that. But I do have concern about what the death bowling is. Obviously, you could bowl Narine there. Curran, you can depend on for a couple of death, but Sam Curran's death bowling, I don't think is going to stay at the level we saw in the World Cup. I think that's a fair assumption to make. I think he's good, but I don't think you're going to get that level of Sam Curran all the time. And so, you know, the question is, where do the other overs come from? And, you know, we can say Tom Curran, they're optimistic he's going to bowl, but will he continue to bowl? Will he bowl the whole tournament? Will they be able to consistently go to him? I do think that death bowling is a concern, and maybe that means you have to hold Narine back. And obviously that leaves you in a situation you don't want to be, because you want to have Narine's wicket-taking option in the middle overs. What's good for them, though, in that respect, is that Nathan Sauter has had a phenomenal campaign for Durham. He's the leggy in this side, obviously played for Middlesex for years, and now went up to Durham. And this year, in the Blast, 51 overs, 24 wickets, averaging 14.5, a common rate of 6.73. Look, it's easier to bowl leg spin at Durham than it is at Middlesex. But big old boundaries at the Oval. If you've got Ishanula and you've got Sauter bowling well, that does mean you can hold Narayan back a bit. And I do think that that spin duo of Narayan and Sauter, both in excellent form, and also the very helpful off-spin at Will Jacks, who bowls very well in the power play, and actually that spin attack can cover up some of those potential issues in the seam department.
I think that's true. Sauter is on an absolute heater this year. I think we were both not necessarily in disagreement with his retention initially, but we were both slightly surprised that he was kept on the books given the likely availability of other prominent leg spinners. But it's turned out to be a really canny bit of business for Oval here, because they've got arguably the prime form domestic spinner at the moment in their side. Alongside Sunil Narayan, that's going to be a genuinely very exciting spin attack. The one thing I will say on that is that Narayan is expected to leave after around four or five games. He will be heading off to the Caribbean Premier League. He will be replaced by Adam Zampa. So that will give you a lovely, tantalising double leg spin attack of Zampa and Sauter. It does mean you lose the option to hold him back for the death, because I'm not sure you want to do that with Zampa as much, although you probably could do if you really wanted to. It does mean obviously you lose the left-handed batting option. You can flirt up the order as well. But you do get double leg spin, and that's very fun as well. Also, let's not forget Danny Briggs, who was not half bad for Oval last year. He's not played that much this year. He's been injured, but we're expecting him to be back for the 100. And I genuinely feel like he could come in and play a few games. He's very good at controlling the power play in the middle overs. He's still a very wily operator. So don't rule out Danny Briggs. He gives you a different option for the side of the spin. And honestly, I quite like this spin attack. I think it's pretty canny.
Yeah, I do like it. And we'll get on to it. I do have concern, though, when Narayan goes, of Tom Curran's and Bob. Then I do genuinely have issues about how they're going to go in the final 25 deliveries of 100 game. And I think those final 25, the shorter the game is, the more important those final 20 balls are. And I do have concerns. But before we get on to that and our general thoughts about the team, player to watch here, Charlie. I mean, it's difficult with this Oval side, because actually all of their players are pretty much stars, and it's very difficult to throw in and out there. And we've also just talked up Nathan Sauter, but I do want to shout out Zach Chappell. I never thought I'd be behind Zach Chappell after he left Leicestershire. I fully respect anyone who leaves Leicestershire for better opportunities. I get it. However, he is still a traitor, so it's all irrelevant. But he's been expensive this year for Derbyshire, economy rate over 9, but been a tough year to bowl at Derbyshire. And he's taken wickets, 26 wickets, averaging 18 across the tournament. You know, I think there's another level he can take. And, you are worried about his economy rate, but I think he's a 100-level bowler. I think he's got it in him. And I do think if he gets some opportunities in this Oval side, I think people will be pleasantly surprised with how well he might be able to bowl with them. Especially, I think, because he will suit Oval more, I think, than those very high-scoring Derbyshire tracks. I do think he offers a really nice skill set, especially with his height. So I'm excited to see Zach Chappell get a go if he does get a game.
Yeah, me too, actually. I've come around on Zach Chappell. I was sceptical at first. I think prior to this season, whenever I'd seen him bowling T20 cricket, he was hitting a nice line of length. But all too often in T20 cricket, when you're bowling at a decent pace from a decent height, hitting a good line of length, it just sits up very nicely and you can get hit out of the park all too easily. But he's developed since then. He's added a lot more to his game. And I agree, he's a 100-level player and he does have something to offer this side. My one to watch, though, is going to be another seamer, Gus Atkinson. Okay. I said before, he is a really exciting cricketer. He bowls with good pace, hits really good areas. He's so skillful. I genuinely think England duties are not too far off from Gus Atkinson if he has a good 100 here. I think he's going to start in the first team here. He's going to get regular cricket. He's going to be a very important part of this side, bowling with a new ball and at the back end of the innings, potentially two. I just think he is a very exciting cricketer and I think he could have a very good year. So watch out for him.
Vibe check on the Oval Invincibles then. I have a couple of concerns and I do like the versatility of the batting order, but if you've not got Narayan, do you need to play Whiteley? Because you only have one left-hander really in Sam Curran in that top order. Are they short top order player? And also, I just think if Tom Curran isn't bowling, I'm really concerned for what they're going to do in the death overs, especially without Narine. I like a lot of the talent. I do think they have plenty of fantastic players. I just think there are a couple of gaping concerns for me, which push them to me towards mid-table. I do think they have the ability to compete. And if they made the final, I wouldn't be surprised. But if they make the final, oh, because they overcome these hurdles. So for me, good side, can win the tournament. I don't see them as absolute front runner, though, because I do think there are genuine concerns with the amount of right-handers in the side and just a couple of those niggling issues I have with the bowling attack.
Yeah, I'm largely in agreement there. I think they're around third, fourth or fifth for me in my power rankings, which I'm kind of working out as we record these podcasts. I think they're a nice team. They've got a lot to like, a lot of flexibility, a lot of really important roles covered with good quality. If the form of the likes of Jax and Klaassen continues as it has been, then they've got every single chance of doing very well in this competition. I just worry about exactly how they come together. I worry about what happens when Narine goes and how they rebalance that attack after he goes. I feel like they could win this competition, but I don't think they're my favourites. I think they're a rung under the Rockets and the Phoenix, who for me are my front runners.
So there we are. There is our team preview for the 2023 Oval Invincibles Men's. Loads of talent, couple of gaping issues we are concerned about. We're doing a team preview for every single men's and women's side. The Oval Invincibles Women's preview, by the way, on your feed right now. Go have a listen. And then keep checking out our feed for more previews on X/Twitter, whatever you want to call it. At Podcast 100 is the place to be. For now, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.